This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, James? How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Wonderful. Hanging in, watching Tim Anderson achieve heights that that he kind of expected. But I find the guy's performance to be absolutely breathtaking, and I guess when looking at Tim, amidst everything that surrounded him the first couple weeks of this season, I was reading through some of the things he seems to have changed, and it's his ability to hit sliders, his ability to identify them and then hit them at a level that he's not done before. I'm sure the batting average in balls in play, that kind of 500 number-ish, that'll probably come down some. But he seems a different hitter to me, and I wonder what you have attributed that to over the last couple of weeks and spring training as well.
Well, the last time I talked to him about it, he accused me of trying to get his secrets.
But, sure, because you could use those then.
I think his swing kind of has more physical ability to allow him to, like, it's not like he necessarily is recognizing a slider in a fundamentally different way now, but he kind of has a lot more, patience with his load in his swing that allows him to maybe pause and stay back on the ball when he does recognize a slider, whereas, earlier versions of his swing, it was just kind of a binary swing or don't swing, and he didn't really have an ability to adjust the velocity or kind of make any changes in what he was seeing, and that, basically reduced him a dead red fastball hitter because, he had the bat speed to catch on it, and that was kind of the only mode he was ever really geared into, was just to swing on a fastball. But now he kind of has that little pause when he recognizes spin that he can kind of stay back and shoot some singles into right field and, even catch a couple for power if they're hangers.
What are you seeing from starting pitching trends right now? It's just kind of been it's been directionless at this point. You're getting good start, bad start from a guy, average start. I don't have a feel for the overall level of starting for the White Sox.
Yeah, and I didn't really anticipate it to be a strength coming in. If anything, I've been kind of encouraged with Rodon, because just to see the swinging strikes come back, because that's a guy who you tout as being kind of stuff over command, and to see him with his like career low strikeout rate after coming off of surgery last year was really worrisome. He's gotten a lot of that from just throwing his slider an absolute ton, but even that wasn't necessarily working last season. Now that he's able to command the strike grabber early in the counts, he's able to get whiffs off of it. He still hasn't gotten his top velocity back. And I don't know necessarily if it's a reasonable expectation to have him do that at any point, but I think he can be an effective pitcher, just kind of throwing a slider, 40% of the time. Ronaldo, he started the season completely command out of whack, and that's not really encouraging, seeing as he was kind of the best pitcher last year, especially during the second half. It seemed like they've righted the ship, consistency is, what you're looking for constantly with young players. That's certainly true with Ronaldo, who's just kind of a raw stuff guy, and you want to know if he's going to be able to basically be the guy he was the last 2 months for an entire year. This season's mostly showed that that's probably going to wax and wane out depending on how much his mechanics are in place. And with Giolito, you literally had him looking good as ever, and then he hurts himself. So that's kind of that defines the up and down nature of his season.
Is he expected to miss a handful? Where's his health at most recently?
It's kind of the general dichotomy of the player who thinks he's going to be back immediately and come back on the 10-day minimum and miss one start, and the team that, by putting Manny Benoist in the rotation, clearly is more prepared in case that doesn't happen. Last check, he had not thrown like a full out bullpen at max effort and seeing how his leg responded, but he's had no pain really since it happened. He's been, playing catch since it happened, and he wanted to be back after one start. Certainly their depth is not really, unless they just decide that they're not going to slow play Dylan Cease, which I don't think they are, their depth is not really in place to sustain themselves with a long absence from him.
Talking White Sox with James Fegan of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JR Fegan. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. I appreciated very much what you wrote about Tim's one-game suspension. I appreciated the perspective you found from Lucas Giolito to put in there, and I appreciated very much your own perspective on the suspension. Wonder if you have talked to either Tim or the White Sox or anybody around there who was part of the decision to just take the suspension the next day and move on. I found that, I don't know, I wondered if there was a purpose to that.
I think, you know, in his heart of hearts, Tim would probably not rather be kind of the center of a whole debate. I mean, he kind of gets caught in these things by happenstance, not really something he would want to be himself. But it kind of, you know, circumstances kind of drag him into things like this rather than he'd really want to be, the flashpoint of the entire league. I mean, he would describe even the bat flipping incident as not something that he's not trying to start some movement, but just something he did in the moment. I still think like the Major League Baseball ignored a ton of context and shouldn't really be coming down on them the way that they did. And combined with the whole, you know, much of the league kind of supporting the idea that he should get beaned for being himself, and that what a terrible look that is when that's the only African player on a team and with such a sparse African American population league in general. But I don't think Tim was necessarily wanting to take some huge stand on that he should get to say the N-word during games all the time or anything like that. I think he acknowledges that that's probably not ideal for a mass market entertainment product, but he just keeps kind of getting dragged into these battles because MLB is incompetent more than he actually wants to be the center of it.
You did a very careful job of trying to handle some of this context, but I was trying to be in the minds of MLB in how, what would I do? How would I handle it if something like this happened? Because it's like, it's sort of this uncharted territory of, you know, black guy calls white guy the N-word, and you think, if you're baseball, it's you would face all kinds of backlash for ignoring it, and you would be able to say, well, why is it okay for this? And you can't, those discussions say, all right, how much time do you have? We can sit down and actually really talk about what's okay and what's not okay, and what words signify and how they signify and to whom, and how there are different scales for who's using certain words to mean certain things. Talk about the semiotics of everything, and next thing you know, everybody's asleep or they've left, and you can't do that. You can't have these discussions. I don't think baseball had a choice. I really don't. I think that all they could do, backed into where they were, was say, yeah, let's just say no one. It's best off for everybody that nobody uses the word, while completely understanding that there's a whole lot of discussion to be had by some very smart people about what it all means.
I mean, it seems like a weird entry point, especially for regulating kind of speech during base bench clearing brawls. From my understanding, if they wanted to start delving into the language used during bench clearing brawls, they'd have a lot of suspensions to hand down. And, you know, this wasn't something that was necessarily public, or that, you know, I heard a lot of the Royals raising stink that he should be suspended because of it. And maybe if, like, this is shock and aghast, it's the first time that they've heard this, like, word thrown out in a heated dispute. Maybe it just shows a testament to how few black players that they have in the league, because it just seemed like a weird point. I don't know what was really forcing their hand to get in, because it wasn't something anybody was discussing until they were trying to figure out why Tim Anderson was suspended.
It seems to me that somebody's got to want to tell somebody that this is what he said. Like you mentioned,
yeah.
If you went through all the bench clearing brawls, you'd have to A, go through a whole lot of words that I'm sure baseball doesn't want said, and you'd have to go through multiple languages, and I just don't think they've done that. They found they found the easiest way to do this and found a completely tone deaf way to administer any kind of justice.
I think that's a great point. We talk about multiple languages because the whole language issue, if certain people in their language or in their dialect of their language, because the way words are used among Dominican players isn't the same way words are used among Cuban players or Puerto Rican players, even let alone we start talking about Japanese and Korean players. I hadn't really thought of it in that way, that this could be a larger language police concern.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you that much just from how much trouble my Colombian wife has, like, understanding Jose Abreu, that the dialects are very different. So, yeah, there's a lot. there's lots of parts, and even from, you know, just chatter in locker rooms as far as like language policing, I feel like they're biting off more they can chew.
When you look at what's made of Jose Abreu over the first couple of weeks, he gets a couple of hits against an Orioles team that we mentioned off the top isn't a very good ball club. What is Jose Abreu in the context of the 2019 White Sox?
What do you mean? He's a slow starting first baseman.
Yeah, and kind of slow in general. I mean, we've made that team has made so much about his leadership ability and what he means to Yoan Moncada. He seems to stand for more than just slow starting first baseman to them. Do you get the sense that they continue to feel that way, or is it all going to change?
I definitely think they would probably lean towards thinking of him as someone who's around for a few more years, but. Yeah, I actually think that they're being cautious and kind of evaluating, you know, just how much longevity he's really going to have, how reliable he is for someone to maybe, you know, add a nice little two or three additional years as a, you know, clubhouse steward and reliable middle of the presence, you know, as a big kind of hulking first baseman who's kind of, you know, uncharacteristic slumps are getting more frequent and longer over the last couple of years. It's definitely a situation where they probably shouldn't leap into necessarily an extension and definitely use this season to monitor him. I would still think that he's probably just because of the mentorship aspect and the fact that they've been unwilling really to trade him for anything what other teams would consider reasonable, that they probably are leaning towards holding him on a longer-term basis. But I definitely think his cold start slump should be watched closely.
James Vegan, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.